Welcome and thank you all for standing by. All participants are in listen-only mode all throughout the duration of the conference. This call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this point. Now, I'll turn the meeting to our host, Mikey Flannery. Thank you. You may begin.
Thank you very much, and good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining me on the call today. Before I go any further, I want to wish everyone very happy holidays and a happy and safe New Year, including everyone who finished celebrating Hanukkah last Friday and everyone who will be celebrating Christmas and Kwanzaa this week. I can't thank you all enough for your amazing contributions, dedication, and valor in this very difficult year. I am certain that 2021 will be a brighter year for all of us, and I hope you're able to have a restful and enjoyable year's end with your family and friends. We also have another big thing to celebrate here at the NSNY, which is that the Moderna COVID-19 vaccine was approved for emergency use by the FDA on Friday. The Moderna vaccine is the one that we will be offering to our own staff, and with the approval of the FDA on December 18th, plus the CDC's approval the following day, it is now starting to be distributed nationwide. We expect and hope to receive our first shipments from New York City in the coming days, although we don't yet know exactly which day we will get it or how many doses that first shipment will contain. As you've probably heard by now, the first group of Americans scheduled to receive the vaccine are frontline healthcare workers. Initial shipment of vaccine is expected to be limited, and the New York City Department of Health's Bureau of Immunization asked us to work on a prioritization protocol for our employees. We are still finalizing this, but we will begin with offering vaccine to our field staff who take care of patients in skilled nursing facilities and assisted living facilities. Once we receive the vaccine, we will be contacting each staff member individually to schedule both your first and second COVID vaccine shots. So please wait for that outreach. I also encourage anyone who's interested in learning more about the vaccine to visit the Vaccinate VNSNY site on the VNSNY intranet, or to go to the COVID-19 vaccine page of the Partners in Care Resource Center and read the FAQs that are posted. There's a lot of great information there. There's also a video of home care nurse Ruth Caballeros up on front line, sharing why she's looking forward to getting the vaccine, and more videos of staff talking about why they're looking to get the vaccine will be coming soon. The most important points to keep in mind are that the Moderna vaccine has already been tested on thousands of people in clinical trials, and it's been found to be quite safe. Most people experience very minor side effects such as soreness around the injection site or some mild fatigue that goes away in a day or two. The Moderna vaccine is a new technology that uses messenger RNA, or mRNA for short, so it doesn't contain any live or inactivated virus, which means you can't get infected by it. And it's also been proven to be extremely effective at preventing people from getting sick with COVID-19. In fact, among the tens of thousands of people who tested the vaccine, there was not a single case of serious COVID-19 illness. I want to stress that it's not mandatory at this time for any staff member to get the COVID vaccine. And I know that some staff are hesitant to get vaccinated. But I hope you'll keep the scientific data in mind and that ultimately everyone will choose to protect themselves by getting vaccinated. I also want to remind everyone that our vaccination team will be contacting you to schedule your vaccinations. So please wait to hear from them. Please do not reach out about getting this vaccine. They will contact you. So please thank you for your patience. I also want to thank the many staff members who have volunteered to serve as vaccinators and facilitators, and we plan to start that training shortly. In more good news, Governor Cuomo announced that as of Monday morning, 38,000 people in New York State had received the first of their two vaccine doses, the highest number in the United States. The first 346,000 doses of Moderna vaccine began arriving in New York yesterday, some of which will be coming to us. As you know, the COVID-19 vaccines are arriving at a critical time. Since we're in the midst of the holidays, the rate of COVID-19 hospitalizations is continuing to uptick slightly here in the New York area. So I'm going to repeat what I say each week, which is to please be vigilant as you shop and socialize this holiday season. Wear your face masks when you're away from home. Keep that 6 feet of distance whenever possible, and keep washing your hands. As for our rapid tests, we are adding a new test site at our Brooklyn office this week. So rapid COVID tests are now available at least one day a week at every one of our regional offices. The schedule for when tests are offered at each site is posted on the COVID-19 section of the intranet and in the Partners in Care Resource Center on Frontline. The test is very quick. You get results in just 15 minutes. No appointment is needed. And you can get tested as often as you wish. As many of you know, I've been getting tested weekly, and it gives me great peace of mind to get that result and know that I'm not potentially putting anyone else in jeopardy. And speaking of jeopardy, please, if anyone has not yet gotten your flu shot this year, do it now. The last thing anyone needs is to be at risk for both the flu and COVID-19. For complete information on how to get your free flu shot and how to submit proof of your vaccination, click on the Fight the Flu banner on the VNSNY intranet homepage or go to the Partners in Care Resource Center. Since Thursday is Christmas Eve, we have just three support calls this week. One for the Partners in Care Home Health Aides today at noon, a Zoom call for COVID-19 survivors this afternoon at 4:30, and an all-staff call tomorrow, December 23rd at noon. You should have received an email with the contact information for all of these calls, and that same information can be found in the COVID-19 section of the intranet and on the Partners in Care resource page. So this concludes my update. Again, I want to wish everyone a very happy and safe holiday, and I'll be holding a CEO conference call again next Tuesday, so I may be speaking with some of you once more before the year is out. So now I will turn to the questions that were sent to the COVID-19 conference call email box. So the first one, everyone is free to take the COVID-19 vaccine, I think. So we are planning to make the vaccine available once we receive it in a prioritization order. As I mentioned, we're going to start with those staff who are working in assisted living facilities and nursing homes on our behalf. And from there, we will start to continue the prioritization. And we're going to start with our direct care staff, not with all staff, because we have a limited supply that is coming into us. Andrea, would you like to add anything further than what I just mentioned?
No, that's. I think you've covered it for now, Marky. The prioritization list is something that we're working on, and we'll continue to communicate as we finalize it. We do have about 9,000 field staff. That's a lot of field staff. So we do ask for everybody's patience as we work our way through this. As Marky said, the vaccine supply will initially be limited, and so that requires us to prioritize in a way that makes sense according to government and city direction. Thank you, Marky.
Thank you. Next question. Good morning. The permit will expire on 12/31/2020. Any news on the status for 2021? So again, this is regarding the parking permit, something that is a very popular question that we get each week. And no, we don't have any further updates. We continue to aggressively work to get these parking permits extended and, frankly, try to get them made permanent. But we have not heard anything further on whether or not they will be issued. Just a reminder that in the two times we've received the permits, we've not found out until a couple of days before the permit expired that they were going to be extended. So I don't have any more information than that. As soon as we do, we will let everyone know. Next question. I am a subject of the AstraZeneca vaccine trial being conducted at Columbia Presbyterian. I have received both study injections, but it's a double-blind randomized trial. I don't know if I received the vaccine or the placebo. They will unblind me if another vaccine becomes available to me. I am a 60-year-old diabetic nurse who can administer vaccines. If I can do that for someone, it would be my first opportunity to deliver direct care since this started, something I really, really want to do. Has anyone thought, any thought been given to how someone like me might demonstrate to the study that a vaccine is available to me? I have a hunch that I'm already vaccinated from the reaction I had to the second injection, so it's quite possible that once I'm unblinded, my dose could go to someone else. So this is a very specific request, and we are going to follow up directly with this person. We know who this is, and I thank you for reaching out to us. I shared this because I wanted to share two things. One, if anyone else has been a member of a study, and again, similar to what this person indicated, you may not know if you received the vaccine or the placebo, we would love to hear from you because we'd love to hear more information. So if you have been part of a study, please let us know. And then in the case of this individual, again, we will follow back up with you directly to talk with you about how you might be able to help us and what our vaccine administration protocol is in terms of prioritization. Thanks. Next question. Any updates on the extension of the parking permits? As I mentioned, this is our most popular subject. So again, as I just said, not yet, and we will continue to let you know once we hear more. Next question. If a clinician is on vacation over the holidays, will VNSNY be calling their personal phones to set up an appointment, or should we have our work phones with us? As you can tell, I am very anxious to get vaccinated as soon as possible. So, Andrea, do you know? Yeah, thank you.
Yes. So our database has both your work phone and your personal phone to the extent that you've communicated and updated your phone number on work day. If you're a employee who gets your time on work day, the home health aides don't use work day. So make sure that you have updated information on your phone numbers in work day. It's very, very important. That is the database we will be using. We will try your work phone, I think, likely first, and then we will try your personal phone second. So I encourage everybody to go on to Workday and update your phone numbers. If you're a home health aide and you think that we don't have your correct phone number, call your supervisor and ask them to update your phone number in the SAN data system. It's very important that we have accurate information for you. Thank you, Marky.
You're very welcome. Next question. If you are positive for COVID antibodies, do you need to get vaccinated? So, Andrea or Tony, do you want to take this question?
Marky, I can take this. So if you have positive antibodies, you should, the recommendation is that you should take the vaccine. Tony, anything to add to that?
No, Andrew, you have it right. Yes, you should take the vaccine. at this point.
Thank you. So next question. Hi, Marky. Your weekly CEO calls and other VNSNY communications have been very helpful and informative, serving to keep the lines of two-way communication and providing staff with vital information. A big thank you. Well, you're very welcome. This is the least I can do to help support the staff who I know are out in the field delivering important care to our patients and members. The question is, will the new CEO be continuing this practice? So I know that Dan is a huge communicator, and Dan wants very much to continue communications with staff and find ways that are that more suit his style. So he's not going to do exactly what I do, but he will be doing a number of different types of communication, and I'm sure you will be very pleased with the way that Dan communicates. So I have not asked him if he's going to do a weekly conference call. That's something that I will follow up with him on to find out. So that was the end of our questions that were received. If anyone has any questions that you would like to ask, you have a moment to do so now, and I'll pause to give you a chance before we conclude our call. Okay. Please clarify what the mask requirement will be after taking the COVID-19 vaccine. My understanding is you need to continue to wear a mask, but I'm going to turn it back to Andrea and or Tony.
Yes, Marky. So the recommendation is that everyone continue to wear a mask. And my understanding on the reason of this is that it's not clear entirely whether just because you get the vaccine and you're completely asymptomatic, you don't have any symptoms, and it doesn't make you sick, it is not certain that you are not capable of transmitting it to somebody else. And so even though you're not sick, you may, I say that may because we don't have enough science yet, you may be able to still transmit it. And that's why you have to continue to wear a mask. Tony, did I get that right, or do you have anything to add?
No, Andrew, you have it exactly right. That's what the CDC and the FDA are recommending right now. And if that changes, we will let you know. But for the foreseeable future, you will continue to wear a face mask until more of the population is vaccinated. Thank you.
Yeah, so I was just going to mention that aspect of it, Tony. My understanding is we need to get to herd immunity, which I believe is at 75% of the population before we can even consider stopping the mask. Is that, am I correct about that?
Yes, Marky, that is what we're hearing from the public health officials at this point. That's correct.
Right. Next question. Are telehealth visits going to be utilized going forward as we get more and more COVID positive cases? So we have been using telehealth in some of the areas of our business. As you may remember from our discussions in the spring, that we were using telehealth to keep our staff safe, especially when we did not have PPE for our staff. We now have more than adequate PPE, so we are expecting our staff to make in-home visits. When we provide telehealth visits especially for our child, we do not get those visits counting towards our LUPA thresholds, and there is a significant financial impact for the organization. When we are, so basically we're not paid for our services. Andrea, anything to add in that regard?
No, Marky, nothing to add at this time.
Any other questions from anyone? Otherwise, I will give you back 9 minutes in your day. I'll just give it one more sec in case anyone has a question. Here we go. We have another one. Good morning. Nurses need to communicate with employee help and stay on top of the NSNY communications while they are out, if they are able to help-wise. Benefits department sends emails to nurses who are out. The problem is they don't have email access. At least that's what's reported. Please don't block email access for nurses who are so that they can continue to send and receive the NSNY communications if needed. So, Marion, maybe you can speak to this issue of staff who are out and unable to receive email, and we're apparently emailing them.
Yes, I will. Thanks, Marty, and good morning, everyone. It's Marion Haas from Human Resources. A nurse's access and any employee's access to email while out on leave of absence is not turned off. That practice was changed a number of months ago, so if you are on a leave of absence, you should still be able to access your email. If you can't, you should contact the help desk for assistance on that. And yes, we do use email to communicate important information to you, and that was one of the reasons we changed that practice of turning off email access. If an employee is not out on leave but just out for several days due to quarantine or signs and symptoms, there should be no interruption in their email access. So, again, the help desk is your best route for solving that problem, and if there's a specific benefits issue, contacting us through Ask HR. Thanks for the question.
Thank you. Next question. Someone is asking if staff can decline receiving the vaccine. So as I mentioned, the vaccine, when it's offered to you, it's voluntary. So if you are contacted to receive the vaccine and you do not want to receive it, you can decline. But understand that we've got 9,000 field staff and 13,000 employees, and we're going to continue to work our way through the list. So if you decline, you're going to go to the bottom of the list, and we will eventually get back to you. But it can't be that you then call back a week later and say, and now I would like my vaccine, because this is going to be a huge undertaking for us to be able to get everyone vaccinated, scheduled and vaccinated accordingly. Next question. Please clarify whether aides who work at nursing homes and are required to undergo weekly testing for COVID-19 will be required to continue to undergo weekly testing for COVID post-vaccination. So if I don't know if the answer is once people get the vaccine, they no longer need to get the testing. Andrea or Tony, do you know?
So, there's no information about that yet, and if you've been watching the news, you can see that the nursing home patients and staff are being prioritized for vaccine. So we don't have any information. The governor of the state of New York has made that a requirement, the COVID testing, and he is the one that will have an executive order to stop that. So we'll keep you posted, but we still have no information about the weekly testing requirements. Thank you, Martha.
Thank you. Next question. Managers receive the spreadsheet with a list of employees who should be receiving COVID vaccine based on field work. I supervised 10 field workers, but only got a list of 2 people. I followed up with the contact person, but wanted to alert you of the mistake in the spreadsheet. So thank you for sharing this. And I think for all of our managers that are on the call, you should be looking at your list carefully, because you may have people on the list who are not field workers, and you should be letting others know. And you might have some staff missing. And again, you should be letting the appropriate contact person know, so that when we are ready to start scheduling vaccine, we are able to do so to the people who are in our priority order. So thank you for bringing this to our attention. Any other questions? Otherwise, I'm signing off. Oh, nope. Let's see. Okay. I think we are done. It's 10:56. So thank you all again for your time and attention. Wishing you happy and safe holidays, and hopefully you'll be able to join the call next Tuesday. Please continue to look at your email, because as we have more information, we will continue to keep you posted. Thank you very much.